1955 to 1968, the civil rights movement, fighting for equality. The winds of change that had begun to stir with Brown versus Board of Education swept through the American South like a gathering storm in the years that followed. But it wasn't just the courts that would drive the next wave of progress, it was the people. Ordinary men and women, students and elders, ministers and laborers, would rise up to challenge the entrenched system of segregation and white supremacy. The years between 1955 and 1968 were a landslide, not of earth and stone, but of determination, courage, and mass mobilization that would transform the nation's moral landscape and shake the foundations of American society. The spark that ignited this landslide came on December 1, 1955, when Rosa Parks, a quiet but determined African-American seamstress, refused to give up her seat to a white passenger on a segregated bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Parks' arrest was not the result of a spontaneous act of defiance, but part of a carefully considered strategy by local activists and organizations like the NAACP to challenge the oppressive segregation laws that governed every aspect of life in the South. Her arrest set in motion the Montgomery bus boycott, a mass protest that would last for over a year and bring national attention to a young Baptist minister named Martin Luther King Jr. King, with his soaring rhetoric and commitment to nonviolent resistance, quickly became the face of the movement. The success of the Montgomery bus boycott, which ended in victory when the Supreme Court ruled segregated buses unconstitutional, emboldened activists across the country. But it was only the beginning. The movement would soon evolve from legal battles and local protests into a nationwide campaign for justice, fueled by grassroots organizing, strategic civil disobedience, and the moral power of mass demonstrations. Throughout the 1960s, the South became the epicenter of this struggle, as activists challenged segregation in schools, restaurants, public transportation, and voting booths. Organizations like the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, and the Congress of Racial Equality, CORE, took the lead, organizing sit-ins, freedom rides, and voter registration drives. Young activists like John Lewis, Diane Nash, and James Lawson emerged as leaders in their own right, risking beatings, arrests, and death in the fight for equality. The landslide of activism reached new heights in 1963, when more than 200,000 people gathered on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. It was here that King delivered his iconic, "I Have a Dream" speech, invoking the moral authority of the Constitution and the Bible to demand an end to racism and injustice. The imagery of the multiracial, peaceful crowd standing in front of the Lincoln Memorial was a powerful counterpoint to the violence and hatred being broadcast from the South. It was a pivotal moment in the movement, one that captured the attention of the world and placed pressure on President John F. Kennedy and Congress to act. But the civil rights movement was not only about uplifting speeches and peaceful protests. It was also met with brutal resistance. Across the South, white supremacists used terror to maintain the old order. Churches were bombed, homes were torched, and activists were murdered. In Mississippi, the assassination of NAACP leader Medgar Evers in 1963, the killing of four little girls in the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, and the cold-blooded murders of civil rights workers James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner during Freedom Summer in 1964 revealed the depth of the hatred that the movement was up against. Despite the violence, the movement pressed forward, pushing for the passage of federal legislation that would dismantle the legal framework of segregation. President Lyndon B. Johnson, invoking the memory of Kennedy, who had been assassinated in 1963, seized the moment. In 1964, he signed the Civil Rights Act into law, a sweeping piece of legislation that outlawed segregation in public accommodations, enforced school desegregation, and banned employment discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It was a monumental achievement, the most significant civil rights legislation since Reconstruction, and it reflected the pressure that the landslide of activism had exerted on the political system. But the fight was not over. In the Deep South, Black Americans were still systematically denied the right to vote through literacy tests, poll taxes, and violent intimidation. In 1965, the movement turned its focus to Selma, Alabama, where activists organized a series of marches to demand voting rights. The world watched in horror as peaceful demonstrators were brutally attacked by state troopers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in what became known as Bloody Sunday. The images of marchers beaten, gassed, and trampled shocked the conscience of the nation and galvanized support for voting rights legislation. In response, Johnson addressed Congress, urging them to pass the Voting Rights Act of 1965. "We shall overcome," he declared, echoing the anthem of the movement. When the law was signed into effect, it prohibited racial discrimination in voting, effectively dismantling the barriers that had kept Black Americans from the ballot box for generations. The Voting Rights Act, coupled with the Civil Rights Act, represented the legal culmination of the civil rights movement's demands. But while the laws changed, the struggle for true equality was far from over. By the late 1960s, the movement itself began to fracture along generational, ideological, and strategic lines. Many young activists grew disillusioned with the slow pace of change and the persistence of economic inequality, even in the face of legal victories. Leaders like Stokely Carmichael and groups like the Black Panther Party began to advocate for Black power, emphasizing self-defense, cultural pride, and economic justice. The nonviolent approach that had defined the early years of the movement gave way to a more militant stance among some factions, reflecting the frustration of communities still beset by poverty, police brutality, and systemic racism. The assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. in Memphis in April 1968 marked both a symbolic and literal end to the movement's most cohesive phase. King had been in Memphis to support striking sanitation workers, highlighting his growing focus on economic justice and labor rights. His death unleashed riots in cities across the country, a tragic eruption of anger and grief that underscored the limits of the legislative victories of the mid-1960s. 1955 through 1968 was a landslide in every sense, a torrent of courage, sacrifice, violence, and transformation that reshaped the moral and legal fabric of the United States. The civil rights movement shattered the centuries-old edifice of segregation and forced the nation to confront the contradictions at the heart of its founding ideals. Yet, it also exposed the persistence of racial inequality and the unfinished business of justice. In the next episode, we will see how the tumult of the 1960s spilled into the realm of foreign policy, as the United States became deeply entangled in the conflict in Vietnam. The war would not only test America's military might, but fracture its social and political unity, igniting new waves of protest and dissent at home. The Vietnam War, A Nation Divided, will explore how the war in Southeast Asia became a mirror for America's own internal struggles, leaving scars that would endure for generations.